is. Chris Andre brings you Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Chuck Collins, speaking Tuesday, November 15th, 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, Elliott Chapel in Portland. Chuck Collins is the author of Born on Third Base, a one-percenter makes the case for tackling inequality, bringing wealth home, and committing to the common good. He'll be talking about the people's movement of disadvantaged communities and communities of color's need to engage with the 1% community and the 1%'s need to step up and get involved. Again, that's Chuck Collins speaking Tuesday, November 15th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, Elliott Chapel, at 1211 Southwest Main Street here in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, November 11th, 2016. And unless you got arrested last night, you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, at 90.7 FM, kboo.org on the web. So that said, last night, I believe they used flashbang grenades. It seemed like it. There was quite a lot of noise, and there was a lot of running from place to place, and strangely enough, standing on lower West Burnside, talking it over late in the evening with another KBOO reporter, we looked up and a wall of dense fog was rolling up from the river towards us. At that point, we decided probably a good idea to call it a night and go home and write it up. And arriving home, I found myself literally speechless. These aren't just strange times. This shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. We made it happen. We're responsible. Everybody's responsible. It's no good saying that forces beyond our control, and we're out there. Sure they are. They're always out there. And that the fix is in. Of course the fix is in. It's always been in. These are factors that we should know by now. We should be definitely taking this all into account whenever we think politics, whenever we think of the delights of the process. And nobody should have mistaken what just happened. Nobody should mistake that for an election. That bore no resemblance whatsoever to an election. That was an auction that we watched, and like all auctions, of course, there's lots of backroom chatter, and in this case, it's a pretty ugly auction too. People were literally auctioning off human lives. Yeah, what do you think the Consumer Report's about? That's about people, human beings, consumers. If you're not a consumer, you're worthless in the system. But this is like the raw material of capitalism. People, consumers, and the raw material is either valuable or not so valuable. So as long as it's playing, it's valuable. So when it ceases to play, then that market goes down. So yeah, it was an auction, and lives were literally on the table. That was that was what just happened. That's what we just saw, in case anybody wondered. There is, however, the Electoral College. We're going to get that to that a little bit later. Right now, we want to welcome Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG Downstate. Let's really, this is Cascadia, and if we don't support Downstate activists who are, fighting to preserve our coastline, to preserve what's left of our maritime heritage, and for that matter, to preserve the oysters. I mean, Jesus, will somebody please out there give it up for the oysters? These are hard times for hard shellfish. The oceans are not providing the necessary conditions to produce hard shells. There's just a little science in there. We were going to speak about what's been going on. If this goes, if Jordan Cove goes, if they build an LNG terminal, a worthless, obsolete, it's obsolete right now. It hasn't been built yet, and it's obsolete. If this thing gets built, that's it for the coast. That's it. We already have this great lump of warm water sitting out offshore. We do have shellfish dying by the thousands. We have all kinds of other marine life dying for no explainable reason. And if we let this terminal happen, that's it. This is, and nature is utterly unforgiving. Nature does not care about us. We are not the top species, and we are certainly not somehow exemplary in any way. Jody, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a while since we've spoken.
Yes, well, there's a lot still going on down here. This fight is far from over, so just so people know that. August 7th, just recently, the Oregon Department of State Lands, they extended their application, Jordan Cove's application. It was on November 10th they did this, until August 7th. 2017. Now, the reason they're extending it one more time, because this has been several extensions, this is for the their Department of State Lands removal fill permit application for both the terminal and the pipeline, is because they're looking, part of our comments, because we raised very good comments showing that the project wasn't in compliance with the Oregon administrative rules. Now they're saying they're going to give the applicant more time to look at an alternative route that avoids the Coosa Estuary, or, you know, so it's still in a process.
And it's still, and still, they will, I'm guessing they will need to invoke eminent domain. They're still going through people's property. They're still going through indigenous people's sacred land, and they're still crossed. They're going to have to still, how many streams are they going to have to cross? Is this going to alter in any way the route that has certainly generated?
It could. Well, it's kind of interesting because FERC sets the route. FERC has denied this project, and that was a final order. And if you talk to anybody at FERC, they say this project, they're not working on it. They consider it a dead project, basically. It's not authorized. Jordan Cove did ask for did a request for rehearing of that decision, and FERC has just said, well, they're still considering whether they will actually rehear it or not. So that could go on for indefinitely. We don't know when they will make that decision. There's a lot of issues. One of the things that FERC denied the project on was the fact that landowners had not signed off, and there's still 70% of the landowners that have not signed off on this project. if they, you know, they're out there holding the line, we hope that they do continue to hold the line, because that would mean that there's not really a significant reason for Jordan Cove or for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to actually rehear this. In the meantime, even though FERC has issued an order denying the project, the state is still processing permits. I'm working on several appeals right now. We have briefs due. I'm working right now on a brief that's due this next week. And so we're in this process thick and heavy still, even though, you know, people may not hear those things. I know there's people that are frustrated because, you know, the state, instead of just denying their application because they weren't in compliance, they're giving them more time to offer their application.
To get the laws changed if necessary to accommodate the needs of the corporate interests in there.
We've been dealing with this for the last quite a few years now, where they just come in and if their application doesn't work, they pull it, change the law, and then it works. And so we're having to fight law changes or ordinance changes, and then the application comes again, and we have to try to, you know, show that it's really not in our best interest. I mean, like you said in the beginning, ocean acidification is real. It's not just affecting oysters. It's affecting all the shellfish and coral reefs, all kinds of things. And this is caused by high CO2 levels. And instead of going to alternative energies or reducing our usage of fossil fuels, projects like Jordan Cove would increase our usage. So, you know, we have to keep fighting for what's right. It doesn't matter what happens in other, you know, arenas. The people have to rise up and fight for what's right.
Yeah, and really understand what's at stake. To really get it, to understand that if we kill the ocean, it took millions of years for the oceans to happen. They didn't just get poured in there.
Well, those are ecosystems, and we are a part of the whole ecosystem as a whole. So eventually it affects us, humans.
And sooner, very lightly, rather than later.
Right. We're seeing it in higher temperatures, droughts, and flooding, and actually even colder temperatures in other places that normally don't get colder temperatures. And so you're seeing a disruption of the climate, and that's causing, you know, all kinds of issues that affect affects the, you know, our economics too.
Well, it affects demographics, because if we think we got it bad here, I do wish that people of Cascadia would get it to the extent they will realize that even if you never go to the beach, if you kill the ocean, it is going to change weather patterns in ways that you're not going to like very much. It's not about going outside and like in mid-November and saying, oh, isn't it lovely? We're having such nice weather. What a nice November we're having. It's not a nice November. It's the death knell. It's the death rattle of an entire ecosystem. And we think we have it bad here. Other parts of the country have got it a whole lot worse. And the people there are going to event very, very soon, I expect, pack it in and say, we can't take any more of this flooding. We can't take any more of, you know, drought, whatever. We're going to move to Oregon. We're going to have, if the city of Portland thinks it's got a problem with housing now, and they're struggling to accommodate these masses of immigrant hipsters who perhaps dying in camps surrounding the state of Oregon, surrounding Cascadia, desperately trying to jump in the back of trucks and get to Portland by hook or by crook. If we think that this is not a good scenario for us, wait till this really is. People are going to be hurting badly, and when people hurt badly, then all bets are off, and there will be a great, in all probability, great surge of people who are seeking refuge from climate collapse where they had lived before. And people who do have roots in places that go back sometimes for generations, or whatever it takes, eventually there is a tipping point and they will abandon their homes and seek shelter somewhere else in the country. It's just a matter of the way bioscience takes its course. Yes. I want to ask you a couple other things now. In the email that you sent, there's some events coming up that would be good for listeners to know about. Do you want to just mention a few of these things?
We taped a show. Actually, we went in and taped it the day the FERC decision came down last March, but they're going to re-air it. it'll actually be on OPB across Oregon, 8:30 a.m. Saturday, which is tomorrow morning. It's also airing on SOP TV tonight at 8:30 and some other stations. You can find out more about that by going to www.immensepossibilities.org, and they will. You can also watch it online. This it's about 30-minute presentation that explains the Jordan Cove project and four of us that have been fighting it and our different takes on what the problems are with it. There's also, I know, some people, it's not our group, but some other groups are protesting the Department of State Lands decision to keep extending the permits for Jordan Cove instead of just denying them. That will be happening the 14th between 1 and 5 in Salem.
Hang on, Jody, that's all the time we've got right now. I've got one final question for you. Are you a lawyer?
No.
Just
no, I'm not.
Thank you.
I could use some more legal help. But you know what? If I don't fight the fight that's before me, even though I'm not a lawyer, nobody else is doing certain parts of this.
That's exactly it.
I'm not saying we don't have some help.
Thank you so much for everything that you do. Thanks for joining us today on Air Cascadia. This has been Air Cascadia for Veterans Day. Friday, November 11, 2016. Engineering for us today, Sam Parrish. Thanks for that, Sam. And Derek Hooks is our AMN News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Aftermath, part of the Brown Paper series produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs November 28th at 7 p.m. at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. In Mary Burrell's 1919 one-act, John Thornton, a young black soldier who has served his country in World War I, comes home to rural South Carolina.